right, everybody, open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. There's a verse we're going to use as a springboard that's kind of it's a springboard and an umbrella at the same time, I guess. So, to cover the topic we're going to be talking about today, this is, again, a message that I've been chewing on for a couple of weeks. Looking forward to giving today. I feel like the Lord's speaking this, and in fact, I will tell you, I'll tell you right now in case I forget to tell you later, next week is really going to be kind of part two of this. It's just as important to hear, and here's why. On Wednesday nights, we're going through Hebrews, and we just started having an incredible time on Wednesday nights. Man, looking at Hebrews, it is awesome. But I have to tell you, this past Wednesday night, we talked about something that became, as we talked about especially, it became so critical to all of our walks with God that I decided, with apologies to those of you who were here Wednesday night, I figured the other 200 people need to hear it. Is that okay? All right. So I'm gonna preach that next Sunday morning. What we talked about last Wednesday night. It's awesome stuff. I'm telling you, it's really good, and we all need to hear it. And so we're going to talk about that next Sunday morning, and it's a segue from this, okay? And basically, let me just tell you, it's what do you do when you don't see the rule and reign of God manifest in your life? What do you do? Where do you put that? What's up with that? So we're going to talk about that next Sunday morning. So I want to encourage you, please, make your plans to be here. Don't miss it, whatever you have to do, because it is one of the most vital truths that we will ever look at together. Just like this one. Okay, so Matthew 6, you know that when we're reading Scripture together, I really like to get the context of a passage, and I'm not going to do that right now because in a few minutes we're going to go back and get the context of it, but I want to give you this verse as an overall umbrella here. Matthew 6:33, Jesus is speaking. This is a verse that many of you may have memorized as you were growing up in Bible class or whatever, and you've known this verse for years. We're going to look at it hopefully in a new way today. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Now, it's important what He meant by all these things, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And it's also important that that phrase starts with the word "but." In other words, it's in contrast to what came before it. And we're going to talk about that again in just a moment. We'll get all that context. However, the important part of this we're going to look at is the command of Jesus that said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I do need to tell you this. What He's talking about, all these things, is He's just finished a discourse on how God provides for you and takes care of you and what you wear, what you eat. You don't have to worry about that. He said, the people who don't know God seek after the things that they think they need, their food, their clothing, their stuff. They seek their stuff, but you don't need to seek that stuff. God has stuff for you. So, you might remember VeggieTales, the Stuff Mart store. Okay, yeah. So, He's saying, all right, you get your stuff. You get the stuff that God wants you. Don't worry about your stuff. Don't seek it like they seek it. Here's what you need to seek. You need to seek the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at this for just a moment before we bounce off the springboard. The word seek is important because you know there's a difference between looking for something and seeking something, right? You can look for a book that you've misplaced. But you seek for your wallet if it's not there. How many ladies ever had purse panic? All right, that's seeking mode. That is heat seek mode. You're seeking that purse, and you guys, you lose your wallet. Same kind of thing, you know. So now here's the difference. When you're seeking something, basically what that means is it isn't going to be impossible for you to rest until you know where it is. You ever lost something, you just couldn't go to sleep at night until you just knew, you seek. That's what seeking is. Seeking means you clamor for it, you hunt for it, you will do anything, you will stay up, you will forego sleep. You can't rest until you find what you're seeking for. Guys, that's what Jesus is talking about, that kind of seeking. You seek this kingdom of God. You look for it. Listen, you seek your purse, you seek your wallet, you'll seek your keys, but you will never seek anything with the passion with which you seek a TV remote. Amen. Can I get an amen? All right. Because, say so, sir. And yes, say so. Here's how they disappear in our house. First, the battery cover goes missing. All right? Anybody else? Good. That's what. Then one of the batteries goes missing, right? And lastly, you can't find the thing at all, and it ends up wherever single socks go. Yeah, yeah. The couch eats it and shares it with the dryer. So, yeah, that's right. So that's seeking. That's a seeking thing. That when you're looking for something such that you know you can't rest till you find it. That's what Jesus said, seek the kingdom. When he said seek first the kingdom, he didn't mean seek first in order. In other words, order your day and number one on your to-do list is seek the kingdom, then you can move on to other stuff. No, the word first here means seek only the kingdom. Let this be the priority in your life, because when you seek the kingdom of God, everything else on your to-do list comes. I mean, it all falls into place the way God wants it to. You might not even have it in the right order. So let God reorder all the other stuff. You just seek the kingdom. Now, what does the kingdom mean? As we've talked about here for a number of years, the kingdom has to do with the rule and reign of God. God having His way. We're just saying, God, have your way. It's God having His way in your life. It is God being king in your life and you acting like He's king. Responding to Him as if He's the king. And you obey, and you listen, and you receive from Him, and you let, and He's the Father, and all this. So, the kingdom of God has to do with His rule and reign being made manifest. Now, what that means is revealed. Now, we've taught this before. When something is made manifest, you know, you hear this on Discovery Channel. If you're watching something about a black panther in the jungle and what do panthers eat? Anybody know? People. And a person comes by, and the panther eats him. Well, that panther is manifesting his nature. So, I sense fear in you, Andrew, and we'll have to. There's an issue there. So, which is why you live in Mobile, Alabama. Not many of those here. So, but that animal then will manifest its nature when the time is right. It's already in there. It just becomes revealed and you get to see it. Well, that's what we're asking. God, would you manifest your rule and reign? We know you already rule and reign. Would you let that now be shown in my life? All right. So Jesus said, seek diligently, crave for, clamor, hunt until you find it. Don't rest until you get it. Seek only, not first in order, but only the rule and reign of God in your life. And when you do that, He'll take care of everything else. Is that clear? All right, now, that begs the question, how in the world do you do that? I mean, practically, how do you look diligently, tirelessly for the rule and reign of God in your life? What does that mean? Well, when I was growing up, and I wasn't taught this, I just kind of caught it. I kind of had the idea that this meant only do Christian stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God. Meant you should only give your time to Christian things. In other words, if you're going to read a book, it needs to be a Christian book. Don't read a secular book. If you're going to listen to music, you should listen to Christian music, not secular music. Now, I love Christian books. I love Christian music. I think that's a great thing. There are whole eras, whole years of popular music that I don't know who those people are because it was just. And I love Christian music. I mean, I was in, you know, 70s were my wonder years. But yeah, I wore black the day Larry Norman died, you know, a year or so ago. I mean, I grieved that. So I love Christian music. But that's not what this is talking about. That's not what this verse means. This verse doesn't mean just do Christian things. So how then, if that's not what it means, how do you seek first the kingdom? All right, I'm going to show you. Turn way back in your Bible to Matthew 6, 25. No, 6, verse 9. Okay. So basically just a page. Okay. All right. Here's what happened. A couple of weeks ago, I was in my kayak on the lake behind my house, and I was out there meditating and paddling and having a great time and just praying. I was praying mostly because earlier that day, Samuel had just gotten his driver's license. And so my prayer life just went off the charts. And so as I was praying, because that opens up a whole new realm of possibilities, doesn't it, parents? When your kids start driving, all of a sudden a whole new realm of what can go wrong. You know, because up to now you've had your kids have basically been, you know, even the fact that we have control over them, that's an illusion anyway. We really don't. But, you know, they're out there driving on their own. So I was praying. And again, this whole thing, I was praying for protection for Samuel as he drives and all that. And Samuel, honestly, is a great driver, but everybody else, not so much. So I was praying for him, and this thought came to him and said, okay, actually, I've kind of wrestled with this a little bit in the last couple of years. I just never really came to grips with it, but I did that day. I was praying, and I thought, okay, what if one day I forget or neglect or get too busy? What if one day I don't pray for his protection? What might happen? Now, those of you who are parents, if you've parented more than a few minutes, you know that that's one of the things that comes up in us. Well, now it's my job to pray for my kids, and if I don't, I have to pray for his protection every day, and if I don't, something might happen. Well, guys, this again brought the question to me, is God's protection over my family, does it flow out of my having asked for it, or does it come from the fact that he loves them and has a plan for their lives? See, which is it? Do I have to ask God to protect my family for him to do that? Or will he do it because he loves them? Now, is it good to ask for, pray for protection? Absolutely. We should do that. And we'll talk about that kind of thing in just a minute. But I began to think, I'm thinking that there's a sense of protection. There's a level of protection that God gives just because he loves Samuel. He loves my family. Well, then that took me to the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, sometimes called, in Matthew 6. And I began to think about these requests when Jesus said, pray like this. Here, just follow me here. Look at Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus says, therefore, and again, anytime you see a therefore, you got to look back before it to see what the therefore is there for. And we'll do that in just a little bit. Therefore, you should pray like this. Now, it's interesting. He said, pray like this. He didn't say, pray this. He didn't say, memorize these words and recite them as your prayer. No, it's okay to memorize the Lord's Prayer, the model. It's good. It's a good thing. Many of us have done that as we were growing up. Our father, we thought God's name was Howard for so long. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be your name. So we memorized it. We prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory. Amen. Okay, now I can get on with my day. And actually, I kind of agree with Jack Taylor. I think it's so powerful that anytime we pray what the Bible says, pray, that God, he honors it. He starts working anyway, whether you think he is or not. He begins to honor that prayer. God hears it, and he says, you didn't mean it, but I heard it. And so I'm going to take that and do something. So I think there's power in that. So it's okay to memorize it. But I think Jesus really is saying, this is a model prayer. Pray something like this. Here he goes on, he says this, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That is both a declaration and a request. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, even all the stuff comes after is important too, but we're going to take just that prayer today. Frankly, I was a little amazed the Lord began to show me something out of this prayer because I thought I knew everything that I could know about this. Frankly, if I see a book in the bookstore on the Lord's Prayer, I'm passing it by normally because I'm thinking, I've read everything there is to read about that. But man, God just opened up something to me here that I want to share with you. All right. Here's what I started thinking about. Jesus said, pray this way. Father, you're in heaven, holy is your name. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Let your will be done, let your kingdom come, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Now, wait a minute. Why did Jesus say we should request our daily bread from God? Isn't that part of the relationship with God anyway? Don't we get that? Look at verse 25 of Matthew 6. Jesus is speaking. He says, that is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? Why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters, that means that was everybody but the people who knew God. So what he's saying is, for even the people who don't know God, for the people who don't know God, eagerly seek all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. All right. So, why did Jesus say, pray this way, give us today our daily bread, if God has already promised to give us our daily bread? See, this is part of citizenship in the kingdom. This is part of sonship in the family of God. He's already said, I'm going to provide what you need. So why did Jesus say that? All right, let's look at the next part. I'm going to answer in just a minute, by the way. All right, let's move on and we'll pray and go home. Okay, the next part where Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Now, let me throw something else in here sideways, okay? A word that I remember, anybody remember memorizing another word for that? Trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. You know, I believe that in the Old Covenant, there was a sin offering that you could make and there was a trespass offering. You made a sin offering when you absolutely, positively obeyed God, you disobeyed God and broke the law of the covenant on purpose. That was sin offering. You meant to do it. You did it on purpose. You knew it. God knew it. That was a sin offering. But there was also a trespass offering. That was when you broke the law of God because you didn't know the law was in there. You did something. Ignorance of the law was an excuse that now you were still guilty, but there was a different offering for them. There was a trespass offering. It was like hunting. You go out hunting and you accidentally go into somebody else's land because you didn't see the sign that said, no trespassing. Well, you've still trespassed, but the intent of the heart is different. Does that make sense? And so there was a trespass offering. However, I believe that now there is no trespass offering with God. There's no sin of trespass because now we have the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in us as believers, and He says to us, this is the way, walk in it. So now, when we sin because we want to. We sin because we choose to. We sin because the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, and we ignore Him, and we do it anyway. So there's no trespass with God. However, I believe we do, though, see trespass sin in our relationships with one another. Sometimes you can step over a line that you didn't know was there with somebody. And this one, so I don't get in trouble, I'll just give you a quick outline. But a couple days ago, I got a call from a young woman that Marianne and I've been praying for 13 years that she would know the Lord. And she called me the day, she said, I really want to have a relationship with God. I hear people talking about a relationship with God. What does that mean? And how do I get that? She said, I've been reading the Bible, I've been praying, but I don't know what to do. So I said, I can help you. I'm a professional. And so we talked, and Marianne was praying. And anyway, about an hour, I looked at my phone, it was an hour and 9 minutes we talked. And in that time, I began to explain to her what it meant that Jesus died for her and her sins could be forgiven and all kind of stuff. And it's cool. So I said, look, can I lead you in a prayer? You can step into that. She said, please, I'm ready. Let's do this. So I prayed, and she added to the prayer, and she wept and sniffled and cried, and I prayed, and I wept, and it was cool, man. And she gave her heart to Christ. It was awesome. Woohoo! Praying for her for years, and that was a cool thing. And she's some miles and miles away. And so I called someone else that we know, a mutual friend who had been also praying for her for a long time. I said, guess what? She just got saved, gave her heart to the Lord. Isn't that cool? She said, yay, that's awesome. So she called her to say, I'm so happy for you. Well, next thing I know, I get an email later that night that says, oh, Mark, I'm so sorry. I'm so hurt that you shared this. This is my private spiritual journey. I didn't want anybody to know. I'm not ready to talk about it yet. And, you know, and that, so I, of course, I went, oh, great. Broke my heart because I thought, I don't want to be the cause of the enemy stealing away the seed that was just planted. So we began to pray for her, said, God, just protect this, you know. And so the next day we talked and everything's fine. It's good. She's going after God and it's a wonderful thing. But what I experienced, though, was trespass. Does it make sense? In that relationship, I stepped over a line that I didn't know was there. And I told her, I said, listen, I'm so sorry. And I didn't get defensive and say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, because that wouldn't have helped any. I said, listen, you were hurt. That's the reality. I apologize. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I want you to understand the reason I did that is because in the circles that I'm used to moving in, we celebrate this kind of deal. And so that's what I'm used to doing. And so, but I understand you want to keep it private for a while. Absolutely. And then I began to pray that the Lord would show her the verse that said, you confess me before men. And anyway, God will get her eventually. She reads far enough in the Bible. So anyway, but that was that whole trespass thing. Now, guys, that's a reality in some of our relationships. We don't trespass with God, but we do trespass with one another. But, all right, now that's just kind of thrown in sideways, and it does work in what we're talking about. But the word here is debt. Now, debt is a debt that is rightly owed. Well, so there's a sense in which we're saying in this prayer, God, forgive us our trespasses with one another. Would you reconcile our relationships? But also, forgive me my debt toward you. Look at Colossians chapter 2 real quick. Keep your finger in Matthew over there. And I turn to Colossians 2. I want to show you something. Jesus said, pray this way, God, forgive us our debts. And again, one of the meanings there is that one of the directions of that is forgive us our debts with you as we forgive others who owe us. Colossians 2, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, Paul says, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us in heaven and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. All right, so Paul says that Jesus took the debt that we owed God and he took it out of the way. He erased that certificate of debt that we had in our offenses against God by nailing it to the cross. So that means once we have that transaction with God and our sin is applied to the cross and Jesus' blood covers that, we don't owe God anymore. So Jesus, why is Jesus saying we should pray this way? Now he's talking about people, when he's saying pray, he's not talking about people who aren't believers. He said you, as believers, pray this way. Well, why then should we say, God, forgive us our debt, if our debt's already forgiven in the cross? What does that mean? And the last one, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Look at James chapter 1. If you'll go to your right, it's right past Hebrews, right before 1st and 2nd Peter. If you go to Revelation and take a left for a few pages, you'll find it. James. James 1, 13. James says, no one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. Guys, God never puts sin in front of you to see if you're going to bite. He doesn't do that. God doesn't tempt you with evil. He will not put you in a place where you're tempted with evil. Only Satan tempts you with evil. Only the kingdom of darkness will do that. Does that make sense? God won't tempt you with evil, and he can't be tempted. So, why did Jesus say, pray this way, God, don't lead us into temptation? Isn't that a given? He doesn't lead us into temptation? All right. Now, I have answers. As I was praying about this, I felt like the Lord said, look at the bookends. So, here are the bookends of this whole prayer. It is bracketed, it's bookended by declarations of the reality of the rule and reign, the kingdom of God, and our submission to that. Now, I believe when you look at this prayer, if it's bookended by declarations of the kingdom, that means everything between the bookends, is their context is determined by what's on either side of it. So if the context is the reality of the rule and reign of God in our lives being made manifest, what do the other things mean? Let me tell you, here's what I believe Jesus is saying. Now watch. I think Jesus is saying, okay, everybody, when you pray, pray something like this. God, you are my Father, and it's so good to know you as Father. You're not just a ruler out there somewhere, you're my Father. And I am in relationship with you, and that is a wonderful thing. Father, you are in heaven, and I know that realm in which you move and live and operate. And it's an incredible realm of glory and life and just filled with your love. God, you who rule from heaven, in heaven, Lord, there's no one like you. Holy is your name. There is no one else beside you. There are no other gods. There's not even any, we can't even say there are no other gods like you because no other gods even exist. You are the only God in existence. It's you alone. There is none beside you. Father in heaven, holy is your name. You are separate. You are above. Nobody like you. God, would you let that realm in which you live and move and be, would you let that invisible realm of heaven now that's like nothing else, would you let that now invade earth? God, let your kingdom come now into my life, into the lives of those around me. God, let your rule and reign now settle into this world. Let your kingdom come. Would you let your will be done? God, make it so that your will is done on earth as easily as your will is done in heaven. Anybody got any doubt that God's will is done pretty easily in heaven? You think God ever gives an angel a command? The angel says, okay, when a commercial comes on. Or let me just finish this level so I can save it. See, his parents go, All right. So, never happens. God gives a command, and buddy, it is done. His will is done in heaven. You all agree with that? God, let your will be done on earth, in this realm, as easily as it's done in that one. God, would you cause the invisible rule and reign of who you are, the life of heaven, invade earth and permeate everything we see? God, let your reality invade our reality and overwhelm it, overcome it, cause what we see and live in to conform to who you are. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's what I think is happening. Jesus did not now shift gears and say, okay, let's start requesting. I think he's saying, pray like this, declare the supremacy of God, the reality of his kingdom, and declare the reality of his kingdom invading earth. And then, for instance, God, would you let your kingdom invade earth? For instance, manifest who you are in my physical needs, in the area of my personal life, in my needs, in my finances, in my God, in all in my food, in my clothes, God, in the area of my life, Lord, would you, of my physical needs, would you please show yourself to be the king that you are? Manifest the fact that you own me, that you are Lord. God, would you reveal to me and to everybody around me that my life is subject to you and that you are my provider. So God, give me today my daily bread. Not because, guys, listen, it's not because if you don't ask for your daily bread, you will go hungry. He'll provide that. It's not because you won't get it, but it's a way of saying, God, I want to see you at work. I am seeking your rule and reign. I'm seeking your kingdom. God, would you? I want to watch your hand as you provide my daily bread. And when you do, I'm going to thank you for that. It's going to give me another opportunity to give you glory, to give you praise, to tell everybody what a faithful God I have. Look, I got my daily bread. That's because of the grace of God. Thank you, God. See, God, would you manifest your kingship in the area of my needs today, so that I can give you more glory. And I want to see your hand at work. Dudley Hall told me this. One of the reasons why we lose faith in God sometimes is because we don't associate what he's doing in our lives with the fact that he just did it. See, we miss that. He's still doing it, but we don't connect it to the fact that a faithful, loving God just provided for us. And so when we come to times of doubt and trial, we forget how faithful God is because we haven't been declaring it. But we move on. We say, God, would you manifest your kingship in there? Now, Father, and in fact, God, let me go a little bit further. In the area of my relationships, as I deal with people all through my life, Father, I know that I have forgiveness in you by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the love, the grace that you've shown me. Now, Father, would you please manifest that same kind of love and grace in my relationships with other people? God, the way that the blood of Jesus reconciled me to you, would you let that same blood of Jesus cause my relationships with others to be reconciled, to be brought close, to be brought in, to be healed? God, I'm going to watch for you today. Today, I'm going to watch my relationships, and I'm going to watch for you to move in my heart and in others' hearts so that we can see that you are king and you are owner of our lives. Bring these relationships in line with who you are and the power of your kingdom. And, Father, lastly, let me just say today, I'm looking for Your kingdom. I'm going to seek for the manifestation of Your rule and reign in my walk with You. As I listen for You, as I look for You, as I read the Word of God, as I pray, as I talk with people. Father, in all of my dealings with You today, God, I know that You don't tempt me with evil. I know that You can't do that. You don't do that. But I do know there's an enemy who would love to do that. But I know that because You love me, You protect me even when I don't know You protect me. So God, open my eyes today to see how You are already protecting me from the enemy's plans to derail me. I know there's an enemy out to do me harm, out to derail me in my walk with You, but I don't want that to happen. God, I don't want my fellowship with You to be broken. So would You open my eyes so that I can thank You for all the ways that You cut off the enemy's attacks to me. You cut it off, and sometimes I don't see it, but God, I want to see it. Father, today, so here's the deal. Here's the Lord's Prayer. God, Father, I'm glad to be Your child in heaven, where You live. Holy is Your name. There's no one like You. Let Your rule and reign come. Let Your will be done on earth as easily as it is in heaven. God, and let it be. Let that happen in the area of my personal needs today. I want to see it. I want to watch for it. I'm looking for Your hand. Manifest Your kingdom in the area of my needs. God, in my relationships, manifest that You are ruler, You're a king, You're a Lord in all my relationships. God, reveal, unpack in all of my dealings with You today that You are Lord and King. Let me hear You. Let me see the deliverance that is mine as a child of the King. Because, Father, I'm asking You to do all this, and I'm watching for it today because it's really, my whole life is all about Your kingdom. It's all about Your power, and it's all about Your glory. So be it, God. Yeah, now, there's some important stuff there. See, guys, listen, this changes things. You understand? If we will begin to pray like this, now we get out of the begging mode where we're saying, oh God, please give me this day our daily bread. God, You know what needs I have. Oh God, please help me eat today. We get out of that begging mode and we start walking in a proclamation of the power and the reality, the kingdom of God in our lives. We move forward in that and we say, God, I'm looking for You. I can't wait to see what You're going to do today. And then God opens our eyes. We start getting stories of the faithfulness of God, stuff He was doing all along, but we missed it because we weren't watching. And what happens is all of a sudden, before we know it, we are seeking only the rule and reign of God in our lives. We're looking for it diligently. God, I'm not going to rest until I see You at work in my life today. And then, guys, when we seek first the kingdom, everything else comes. You understand how God can take that heart and say, listen, I'll take care of all the other stuff. You just keep doing that. That's cool. Let's us talk. The other stuff I'll take care of. All right. Now, case in point. Well, I'll tell you. Let me give you a little bit of a warning, okay? So, some of you know what's coming, but let me warn you. The day that I was shown this, that I felt like the Lord unveiled this to me, I called Jack Taylor, I called Jim Hilton, called Dudley Hall, called Peter Paris. I said, okay, is this right or wrong? Because when you see something in the Scripture that you haven't heard before or seen before, it should be suspect. So you're not going off on some wild tangent. So I passed it by these guys, these pastors of mine who love me and will speak truth to me, and they all said, yeah, sounds like God to me. That's cool. Let's talk more about it. And so as we went through it, I began to pray it. So the very next morning, man, I'm praying, God, do all this and manifest Yourself, show Yourself, and woohoo! And a bomb went off in every one of those areas of my life that day. Every one of them. I mean, there's some personally, in finances, boom, a bomb exploded. Then later, in relationships, something blew to smithereens. And it was on a Saturday. By the time I went to bed Saturday night, I had nothing to preach to you the next. I mean, I didn't feel like I had any revelation from God. I wasn't hearing God. He wasn't talking to me. It was horrible. So crawling in bed that night, I told Mary Ann, said, okay, this, I'm either really right or really wrong about this. She said, I tend to think you're really right. So, and here's what I found out. You know, sometimes when we get a revelation from the Lord, especially a key of living, of how to seek the kingdom and living in this reality of the kingdom of God, you know, basically, I was pushing a place where the enemy didn't like it, and he pushed back. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to grip harder. I'm going to keep praying this. Doggone it. If the enemy doesn't like it, fine. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. So I said, I'm going after it. I'm going to keep praying this and see what happens. And things, And you know what happened? All of a sudden, things got worse. And I said, okay, I'm still going to pray this. Now, but then a lot of those things, though, have turned around and the Lord has manifested and shown things. But what's happened also is as I began to pray this, God has opened my eyes. For instance, a week or so ago, Marianne said, you know, I've got this toothache. I've got a pain in my tooth. Most of you know, you got a toothache. It's just, basically, that takes priority. Everything else, nothing is as important. And so, and you know, cavities, they don't just go away. They get bigger. So we were saying, well, you get taken care of. She said, yeah, but my insurance, you know, the Blue Cross Blue Shield doesn't have dental insurance, doesn't cover dental work. She said, well, let's see. And every day I began to pray this, and I wasn't even thinking about that, frankly, as I was praying. But next thing we know, no kidding, about 2 days, maybe 3 days later, we get a letter in the mail that said, hey, guess what? We're introducing dental insurance into your plan. And so yesterday she got this card, her new card, that now can go to the dentist. Y'all listen, that's a faithful God manifesting His rule and reign in our lives. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a number of people pray. I mean, because we absolutely, anytime we have pain, we start praying for healing right then. So we were praying for that. We were praying for healing all the way along, you know, so we weren't discarding that. But it was like the Lord said, okay, healing's yours. Here's how I'm going to do it this time, or at least, you know, this is a step, so here you go. So, but see, thing is, would we have gotten that dental insurance anyway? Probably. It wasn't my asking, I think, that brought it. We probably would have gotten it, but I wouldn't have recognized it as the faithful hand of God. Now, let me say this. Where, then, is the place of asking? James said, you don't have because you don't ask. Later in Matthew 7, Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So all through the Bible, we are encouraged to pray, to ask. There are things we are to plead for, to inquire. We ask God. So what do we ask for? So if it's already provided, what's the use of asking? Here's what I talked with some others. I believe this is the picture that the Lord is revealing to us. Here's what it is, everybody. Here's what I think it is. It's like we're all sitting down at the table of God, and it's piled up with food. I mean, it's packed. Everything we need and more, beyond all we could ask or think, is on the table. Now, you don't get your daily bread because you asked for it. It is provided as a citizen of the kingdom. Does that make sense? You don't, all of this stuff, it's a given. God provides this stuff because you're His child. However, I believe there is a level of living where you can live at a subsistence level in the kingdom with just the biscuits and potatoes that are right in front of you. You can do that. And God has provided it, and you don't have to ask for it. That's part of your sonship, part of your citizenship. And you can live with the biscuits and the potatoes right in front of you. Or you can also ask for the fried chicken that you see right down the table. See, here's what I think. I believe God says, I am going to provide for you. You don't have to worry about this. But there is also more that I have for you if you'll just ask. I want to give you more. There's pork chops and butter beans down this way with real butter. And so you can have some of the... So listen, I think part of that is God has invited us to co-labor with Him, to work with Him, to agree with Him, to invite more kingdom reality into our lives than just subsistence levels. That makes sense? There's a level at which God just does it anyway because you're His. But there's more. There's another level at which God says, now get involved with this thing. You just ask. I'm ready to pass you the fried chicken, whatever. I'm ready. You just ask for it. It's yours. There's cheesecake waiting at the end of the line. And so now, just ask. See, so we are told all through Scripture, ask. You don't have because you don't ask. So there are things that God wants us to ask for. But that's a wider level of the kingdom. Does that make sense at all? All right. So, this is how we pray. Now, let me just ask you, before we're going to pray this in just a moment together and just kind of apply this in our lives. But I wanted to see if there's any questions or comments or anything unclear about what we've talked about, because this is some deeper stuff, but again, practical, because this is practically how we step forward in seeking the kingdom of God first in our lives, looking for the kingdom of God to be unveiled in us. Yeah, Dave? Yeah, right. See, when we're focused on what the king can accomplish, here's what happens, everybody. When we begin to pray like this, it automatically gets our focus off of ourselves, because we're focusing now. We're looking for God. We're looking for the kingdom. See, we're not looking for just what's in it for me. Now we're saying, God, pass that fried chicken, because I can see how you want to use that in your kingdom. You know, get whatever, which of course it is, the kingdom food. So, see, that's what heaven will be full of fried chicken that won't clog your arteries. It's going to be awesome. Amen. And if it's not, I don't know that I want to go there to that heaven. No. A friend of mine, there was a song on YouTube called The Breakfast Song. Have you seen that? This guy's singing a song about when we get to heaven, you know, we won't have to worry about eating breakfast anymore. No more breakfast. No more scrambled eggs. No more French toast. No more bacon. And a friend of mine texted me back. He said, I don't want to go to that heaven. So that's another gospel is what that is. So, but there is more. We're focused on the things of God. We're focused on the kingdom and not ourselves. And then God shows us more that he wants to pass us that contribute to that kingdom expansion. Yeah, Melissa?
As you're talking, what you're basically saying is what the word says when it says with prayer and thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because all you were just doing was giving thanks, and it says with prayer and thanksgiving, then send your request to God.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
No more
exactly. See, that's right. See, now here's what I love about that, Melissa. When we give that prayer and thanksgiving, then we let our request be known. If we do this kind of prayer and thanksgiving first, what happens is it purifies the motives of our requests. Because, see, James said, you don't have because you don't ask. He said, you ask and you don't get, because you're asking with the wrong motives, because you just want to consume, you just want it for your own fleshly desires and lusts. Now, I get freedom from Bill Bright, who said years ago, he said, the last pure motive was at the cross. Now, I think that's true. In other words, I'm not having to wait until I feel like all my motives are pure before I interact with God. But there is a sense, though, in which I can trust that as with prayer and thanksgiving, now, when I pray this way, now I can let my request be made known to God, because I've just said, I'm not living for myself, God, I'm living for you. I've just given it this context. I said, God, it's not about my kingdom, it's about your kingdom, about your power and your glory. Now here's what will happen. As you begin to pray this, things will come to your mind that are down the table when you're praying about your needs. There may be a special request you need to make to God for your need, but now you're not in a position of begging God to do something, for begging him for a piece of bread. You're just saying, God, I need more than just the subsistence level. I have this need. Here it is, and I know it's down the table, so would you pass the chicken, please? And you're asking God just to pass whatever is in his kingdom that he knows you need, that's more than just your daily needs. Does that make sense? There are times in relationships you'll say, God, in all my relationships today, would you, God, there's a special thing going on. There's a real hurt in a relationship right now today that I'm brokenhearted over. So God, today I'm looking for more than just the subsistence level. God, I need more of what your kingdom has for that. Or would you pass the pork chops, please, to this thing, relationships? You know, and same thing with your walk with God. God, I really need to hear from you today. Lord, I've got this issue. I need wisdom. Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need direction. God, today, Lord, more than just delivering me from evil, thank you for that. But now, Lord, I'm asking you to deliver to me all that's in your kingdom for me in this area. See, at that point, now you're not asking for selfish motives. You're saying, God, this is about, it's about living for you. Yeah, Carolyn?
Thanks for my help, and I'm real concerned about what I need to go to the doctor. So it just so what
Yeah. See, here's what I love about this, and Melissa just mentioned. With prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I did tell you that, didn't I? I told you you need to be here, and there you are. Good for you. Not everybody comes that I tell them to come. Yeah, Karen. Yep.
Give me not just what I need, but everything that you would have to show them, the abundance that
yeah.
you have waiting.
I found myself, Karen, this week going into the prayer of Jabez from this. Okay. As I was praying this, I found myself saying, now, God, yeah, enlarge my territory.
Yeah.
Because it's not about my kingdom, it's about your kingdom. Enlarge that now, not so I can have more, but enlarge the borders of my territory so that I can really show, so you can show yourself strong in His.
You know, from Mom's death to Jeff's and then, you know, job stuff and, you know, the success that he has in store for us.
Yeah.
Not just because he loves us, although he does, but because he recognizes and we now recognize our purpose.
That's right. See, here's what I love about this, everybody. Like Karen's saying, it's the bookends of the prayer that give the middle part context, and the context of all of this is, God, it's all about you. It's all about your kingdom. It's about you showing forth yourself. Yeah, Peggy. Yeah. 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 That's right. Exactly. Y'all, again, I'm serious about this. Heed the warning. If you begin to pray this way, things might get worse before they get better. Because I'm telling you, you start pushing when the enemy's sore, he's not going to like it. But you push, the enemy says, ouch, you just push harder. Yeah. Yeah. But we keep going. Sometimes the Lord says, okay, things are shaking. Are you going to let go or are you going to grip harder? See, you know what? I'm holding on, doggone it. You know what I mean? This is true. I know it is. I'm holding on tighter. I'm grabbing onto this thing. And shape me like a rag doll, but I'm not letting go. Yeah. As Mary said, otherwise we spend our lives at that lower level in the kingdom, a subsistence level when there's so much more that God has for us. But we've got to push through to get it. Guys, I'm telling you, this is truth. Push through it. Let's push through. And now I'm telling you, next week, I'm going to be talking to you. This is, again, why this is so important. Next week, we'll be talking very specifically about what to do when you don't see the kingdom of God manifest. How do you keep going? And I'll show you. I'll show you in Hebrews 2 what that is. And it's an awesome thing. Let me just preach it now. Y'all ready for another hour? No, I'm just kidding. No. But it is. It's cool. It's very cool.
Pass the chicken.
Pass the chicken. That's right. We can go another hour. Chicken and pork chops and butter beans. Yeah, David, one thing. We're going to pray. Go ahead, buddy. Yeah.
We're giving him permission. I will tell you, 10 years ago, all I said was, God, I want to get close to you. And everything I loved and depended on was taken away from me. Now, what was given back and is being given back is absolutely worth it. But there were a lot of years that I didn't see that.
Yeah.
When you give God permission to be king, literally, you have the opportunity to walk in the shoes of Job and say, though he slay me,
yeah. Yeah.
And yet it's worth it.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not going to be what you
think. Yeah. That's right. And again, lest anybody accuse me of preaching an easy prosperity gospel, I'm telling you. You know, I'm not saying easy, but it absolutely, guys, there's nothing. What else is there but living for the kingdom of God? Okay, two more real quick, then we're going to pray. All right, Carl.
Yeah,
I just hate to say no to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's a good word. There's one field. You know, he commanded his workers to drop wheat so she could get it. They began to call him Butterfingers, but she was his baby Ruth. So, I hear some snickers out there. All right. All right. Jimmy, you ready to follow that up? What you got, baby? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. See, again, yeah, that's a punch push up. It's like Jimmy saying, like Carl was saying, there is no other field to look in. Guys, listen, what's your option? There is not, the kingdom of God is the biggest thing going on. It's the only thing going on the planet. What else are we going to give everything for except the rule and reign of God being manifest in our lives and the lives of everybody around us? And that is the life of God flowing in the earth. Stand with me if you would. Let's pray. I'm not going to teach all this and then say, go home and start praying it. We're going to do it right here, right now. So that when you leave today, if nothing else, you can say, if I hadn't done anything else today, I have sought the kingdom of God first and only with everything that I am. So let's pray. You can just agree with me as we pray this, okay? Father God, it is so good to call you Father. It is so good to recognize and acknowledge that we are your children. We belong to you. We're not just hired hands. We're not just hired servants. We are children of the one and only God. So Father God, you who live in heaven, this incredible, invisible realm of glory and power and everything that the universe came out of, Lord, you live in that realm of your glory and your incredible power in which you operate and you speak to us and you love us out of that realm. Father, in that invisible realm of heaven, God, would you let now that kingdom in which you reign, let it come to earth. God, would you invade our reality with your reality? God, would you cause the circumstances of our life now to come into alignment with heaven itself, with your will in our lives? God, let your kingdom come now. Show yourself to rule and reign. Prove, God, manifest that we belong to you and that you are king. Let your will be done on earth as easily and as quickly as your will is done in heaven. God, let earth come into such subjection and submission to you that you speak and things are done on the earth with no hindrance and no resistance. God, let your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. For instance, today, God, in the area of my needs, Lord, manifest yourself. Show yourself to be the King that you are. Father, would you show, reveal to me and to those around me that I belong to a faithful God, that you are good and you always deal with me out of your goodness. So Lord, now in the area of my needs and my physical needs, my material needs, Father, I pray that you would just manifest your kingdom. Let me see your faithfulness. God, I'm looking. I'm seeking for your rule and reign. I'm not going to rest until I find and recognize how you've been at work in my life today. God, in the area of my relationships, Lord, thank you so much for the forgiveness that I experience, that I have because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the reconciliation, for the healing that I have with you. Now, Father, would you cause all of my relationships to reflect that same grace, that same love, that same forgiveness that I experience with you. God, let all my relationships come into alignment with who you are as King, and would you reveal that in my life and relationships today. Now, Father, in my walk with you, Lord, I need to hear you. I want to see you, but I want to know that I'm so plugged into you, God, that is uninterrupted. So, Father, I pray that you would show me today how you have already protected me and already are protecting me from the plans of the enemy that seeks to derail me. Thank you, God, that you are my protection. You are my safe tower. I run into you and I'm safe. And thank you, Lord, that you already protect me. Now, God, open my eyes to see how you guard me from the evil one. And in so doing, God, let my fellowship with you be uninterrupted and unhindered today so that I can hear you clearly. Father, manifest your kingdom in every area of my life because I am committed that I don't live for my kingdom. It's not about my kingdom, God. It's about your kingdom. It's not about my power. It's about your power. God, it is not about any glory for me. It is all about your glory. It is your kingdom, your power, your glory, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, everybody, listen. Walk in this week. Watch God move. Seek first His kingdom and watch Him move in your life. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock if you come to that service.